God's blessing to all of you this morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name. It's good to be here. I stand before you in the fear of God and in need of your prayers. We trust that we can worship together and find something from the Word of God to build us up and encourage us and challenge us in our life. We welcome each one to worship with us. Welcome to all the visitors and the local congregation as well. God bless you. This morning I'd like to look at the subject of faith. Message title, How Strong Is Your Faith? How strong is your faith? I'd like to just, for a prelude, share some verses regarding faith this morning. You can listen on. Catch some of the concepts, some of the importance of faith. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And we see there they had a desire for their faith to be increased. Is that your desire this morning? Would you like to have your faith increased? I trust. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's something that we can't see yet, something that we're hoping for. The evidence of things not seen. And so we see here that faith is a belief in something or someone that is real, but it can't be seen. And there's a lot of, we could discuss that this morning just in the aspect of God. Do you believe that God is real this morning? I believe he's real. Do you see him? Well, you see his evidence, don't you? See his, the creation. You're living this morning. You have breath. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but I haven't literally seen God, as it were. But we accept it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's kind of an intriguing subject. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this morning, if you don't have faith, you won't be able to please God. It takes faith to be able to do what God wants us to do. It takes faith to be able to act on what God has for us. And he rewards us as we diligently seek him. Romans 1 verse 17 says that the just shall live by faith. Here I'd like to say that the Christian life is an act of faith with an eternal perspective. We live for a greater purpose. We don't live today and tomorrow die as a dog. And that's the end of life in eternity. The just shall live by faith. James chapter 2 verse 17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so our faith will produce action. We can't just have an intellect, but an intellect that produces action to respond to what God has for us in our life. How strong is your faith this morning? I'm sorry, I have a tickle in my throat for some reason. This morning, the goal of the message is to impress upon our minds that everyday actions in our Christian life are dependent upon our faith in God. And we as Christians, we make choices that are reflectant, or we make choices in light of eternity. And we touched on that a little bit already. We live for a greater purpose. And every one of our choices that we make as a Christian is an outworking of our faith in God. And so I want this message to remind and encourage us to a living faith that produces godly actions. It's not just an intellect. And so I would like to consider various snapshots of Abraham's life this morning. I'd like to go through the book of Genesis. You can turn to Genesis chapter 12 And we'll begin here in this passage. I'd like to look at eight different aspects of faith, you could say, and just go through Genesis. And look at Abraham's life. The Bible talks much about the faith of Abraham, and we could go to Galatians chapter 3 or Romans 4, and in the New Testament it talks about Abraham's faith, or even Hebrews 11. Abraham was a man of faith, and is portrayed time and time in the passage of Scriptures in Genesis, as he lives out in practical living his faith in God. Right here in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham, or God calling Abraham to another country. And I simply have a number one, trusting by faith. And this is in regards to the unknown, trusting by faith with the unknown. I'd like to read verses 1 through 9, actually 1 through 10. Genesis 12, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all his substance, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I think I'll stop there for right now. Here we have God calling Abraham, and he gives him three things. He says, I want you to get out of this country. I want you to get away from your father's house. And I want to take you to the land where I'm going to show you. And so he needed to get away from his surroundings. He needed to get away from the people he knew. And he needed to go somewhere. I'm guessing that he didn't have a clue where he was going. Because God said, I will show you. Now that seems pretty harsh to me, if I can just say it in those words. I want you to think of that in practicality. Today, how would that look to you? How would that look to you? I don't know. Would you get in your car and you'd come to the stop sign and then you'd say, well, I guess God wants me to turn right. And you go again and you come to a red light and then you say, well, I guess God wants me to turn left. I'm not sure. God was going to show him. I don't know what he did. We see here Abraham got up, he departed and he left. And he came away, he built an altar, and he says he journeyed still onward. Journeyed toward the south. But Abraham had these three promises that he could cling to. I will shew thee. And so he knew God had a plan for him. God had a purpose for his life. God also said, I will make you a great nation. And he also said that the people that curse you, I will curse, and the people that will bless you, I will bless. And with this, the Bible says that Abraham went out. Hebrews 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. And we see Abraham acted on his faith. And you know what? Little did Abraham know, as we know, we don't know the future, the unknown. We're talking about the unknown. One of the first crises that Abraham hits was a famine. And we wonder why. Why would God do that when God told him to go, and then it appears and seems like God sends difficult things in his life? Just be the opportunity to question God's abilities. This is trusting by faith with the unknown. And I asked the question this morning, how do we respond when God gives us direction that we have no idea how we're going to accomplish it? Something we can think about. Most of us like to know where we're going, don't we? I do anyway. If I don't know where I'm going, it's kind of a tragedy. And you might even have a GPS. Well, literally, I don't think Abraham had a GPS as we know it, but Abraham's GPS was God. And that was enough for Abraham. And today, the bottom line is that God is still our GPS, isn't he? And he'll show us where to go when we think of our spiritual life. And you know what? It may seem ridiculous at times to choose faith, and none of us see into the future, and yet God continues to give us steps, and sometimes those steps aren't very big. You know, he gives us a step, and we take the step, and then he gives us another step, and he gives us step-by-step instructions, and as we act on that directive, God will give us the next turn. And so, how do we respond when God gives us direction we have no idea to accomplish? Trusting by faith with the unknown. When we act upon God's directive, it's an act of faith. And so here we see Abraham, the first account here, reaching out in faith. Abraham, a man of faith. Number two, I'd like to move on to chapter 13. Here we have another snapshot of Abraham's life. Here I have for number two, giving by faith, even in setbacks. Given by faith, even in setbacks. We have Genesis chapter 13, 1 through 11. Here we have Abraham and Lot's herdsmen quarreling together because there wasn't enough of land. Let's just break in here to, verse 5. Let's just start in there. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, and I pray thee from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as a garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other, giving by faith. Now remember, God had promised Abraham the land. He said, I'll make you a great nation. And he promised him the land, if I remember right. And here we have a situation where Lot and Abraham's herdmen weren't getting along, and so they had a problem. They had a problem on their hands. And Abraham so kindly says, well, you know what? There's plenty of land here. I'll just let you pick. You decide what land you want, and then I'll take the rest. Now, Abraham knew that God had promised him this land, and he would make him a great nation and would have his blessing on him. And Abraham could have responded very selfishly in trying to protect that promise. But instead, he gave up his rights to Lot because of his faith in God. He believed that God could establish his promise without him responding in selfishness. And I asked a question, how do we respond when life brings us setbacks? How do we respond? You know, maybe somebody steals our stuff. I remember growing up, every once in a while, or at a time or so, you know, someone came in our garage there and thought they needed our stuff, and they took it away. I guess they needed it worse than us, I don't know. But they stole it. Maybe God allows a house to burn down, or maybe a car to be wrecked, or a big hospital bill. Just this past week, I think my transmission went out of my truck. You know, that's this world we live in. I still needed my truck, but I guess God thought I didn't. I don't know. Maybe we could ask, why me? You know, maybe you're struggling financially and you've hit difficult times and you say, why does this have to be me? There's other people out there that got, you know, they could make it like this. Maybe even beyond things out of our control. Maybe we need to go the second mile to be like Abraham for the sake of peace. Or maybe we simply give what we need to someone else because we think we should give them something because they need it. Here we see Abraham responding in faith, saying, you know what? There's a promise here, I know. I know that promise that God made to me, but I believe and trust God. I have faith that I can give you the land you want, and God can still work out his promise, and I can accept that. And so we see that surrendering our things to God is an act of faith. And that's a daily challenge because we live in the flesh, and we want to hang on to those things. And, you know, another way to respond in this would be anger. God, this is just not fair. I don't get it. I'm just not going to accept it. We don't see Abraham doing that. I was also going to mention that on the first point with trusting the unknown. The other response could be fear. Giving by faith, even in setbacks. See, I want you to keep in mind that we are living for a greater purpose than right now. And so here we have Abraham giving by faith, even in setbacks. A good example for us as we think about faith. Well, let's keep moving on here. I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 14. Here I have, for this one, number 3, loving by faith in hopes to help others. Genesis chapter 14, verses 12 through 16, we have here Abraham rescuing Lot. Let's just read the verses right now, 12 through 16, in Genesis 14. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abraham. When Abraham knew that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Loving by faith in hopes to help others. In this story, I didn't read it all, but I think there was a total of like maybe 9 different kings fighting each other, 4 and 5. I'm thinking if I'm remembering right. A big army, and so I'm presenting that this was a big army. And Abraham risked his life to go out here to protect Lot or to bring him back. So this was a strong army. And the other thing that I want you to think about is that Lot had just selfishly chosen the land for himself. It says he chose all the well-watered plain. And there's 2 things. I want you to understand. Abram risked his life to go after this army because it was big. And the other thing is, I think Abraham could have felt like, well, you know what? Lot's out of my hair now if I just let him go. I got the land now. But he didn't respond like that. And I like to think here that Abraham seen a potential in Lot that wasn't evident at the time. I don't know what Abraham was thinking, but I like to think that Abram seen Lot and was hoping that Lot would change his life in the future and become a better person. Not for his sake, but for his own spiritual life, for his own sake. And so Abraham acted on his faith because of his love for Lot. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I asked us the question, how do we respond when others prove themselves unworthy of love and persist in selfishness? This morning, love is something that we're called to. And Abraham was a prime example of this, loving in faith. You know, it doesn't always feel good to love, does it? It's not always easy to love our children, or it's not always easy to love others. Others don't always make wise choices, and sometimes people endanger our lives. But as we think of this, can we love in faith, in hopes that people will become better? When people aren't doing what they should, can we reach out to them in faith and love, believing that God could make a better person out of that person? I know sometimes we look at situation and we see it's helpless, and I might talk about this a little bit later on, but I can give you some names of people that I grew up with. A person from our church that never made a commitment, went out into the world. And you know, we look at those situations and how far they go, and we think, what's the point of even praying for them? How could they ever come back? But you know what? God can work a miracle in the lives of people. And so we reach out in faith, loving by faith, in hopes to help others. Well, let's keep moving on. Let's move to Genesis chapter 15. Here's another example of Abraham's faith. This one here, I have believing in faith when it seems impossible. Some of these are tied together very strongly. This is more of an intellect, I would say. But here in Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 16, we have God promising Abram an heir. Now, Abraham was an old man. I believe he was about 100 years old. And so having a child looked impossible. And I'd like for you to turn back to Romans chapter 4, and I'd like to read what the Bible says about Abraham's faith regarding this situation. It's astounding. The Bible puts it so well in Romans chapter 4. I think I'm going to read verse 3. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And I want to go down to 18 and read from 18 to 22, talking about Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. And we see in verse 20 that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And you know, our minds are interesting pieces of us. And they're hard to study into it. But there's an attitude of the mind that can choose to believe or choose to disbelieve. And we see here Abraham having a promise from God, a promise that seemed impossible, something that, how could it ever happen? And I want to ask the question, how do we relate to promises from God that seem impossible to happen? How do we relate to that? You know, sometimes as Christians, we see things that are out of control. We can't always fix the problems in life. You know, maybe we've prayed and prayed for years. We've talked about this a little bit. Maybe we've prayed for years for a sinner to come back, and it seems he keeps on hoeing his own row, as it were. He keeps on digging himself in farther into sin, and there's no form or sign of repentance. There's no penitence, and he keeps going, and it seems like the chains are just wrapping around him harder and harder, and it seems impossible for him to come back. Maybe it's the responsibilities of life that are pressing upon us hard, and there just seems like there's no way out. Maybe you feel like the promises of God just aren't holding out for you. They're just not working for you. Maybe it feels like God doesn't love you, or that people don't care about you. But you know, we have a lot of promises in the Word of God that He will be with us, that He will love us, that He has a plan for our life, and yet we forget that. And we see here Abraham, as he came to this situation in life where God told him something that seemed impossible, it says he staggered not at the promises of God, but he believed. That's amazing to me. Faith believes in the promise of God. Believing God when it feels impossible is an act of faith. And so I just want to encourage you, if there's someone you know from your upbringing, maybe you used to be friends, maybe there's people from this congregation that have gone out and they're living a life of sin, keep praying for them. Because God can work a miracle. God can bring them back. And while there's life, there's hope for them. Let's keep moving on. Number 5, I have courage by faith when it seems urgent. I'd like to move on to Genesis chapter 18. Again, very closely related to what I've been sharing. Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 to 33. We see here that just prior to this, Abraham was entertaining some visitors. 3 men had come, maybe 2 angels and the Lord. And Abraham had invited them in their house, if I'm remembering right, and had them eat. And then after their visitation, they were going over to Sodom, I believe it was, to see if the city was as sinful as the cry that was coming out of the city. And Abraham knew that Lot was living close or in the city. And when Abraham discovered that the city might be destroyed, he began urgently to plead with God, with the Lord, to spare the city. And I believe 6 times he backed down on his bargain, saying, "Lord, if there's only a certain amount of righteous, will you destroy the city?" What did he come down to? 10, was it? 10 righteous? But he kept persisting, and he didn't give up. And he kept driving a harder bargain until I think Abraham was probably convinced, maybe, maybe not. Maybe he knew the city was so wicked. But he brought that number down until I wonder if Abraham had a little bit of confidence that maybe the city would be saved. And so we have Abraham's courage here in this city, or bargaining for this city. Courage by faith. And I want to ask the question, when we come to situations that are urgent in life, how do we respond to those situations? You know, we see Abraham here coming boldly to the Lord. You know, God likes to hear us, I believe, beg and plead for His mercy and for His grace. I don't think God likes our half-hearted prayers that we have sometimes. But He likes when we request and persistent, and we come to Him time and time again. We come to Him, and we come to the throne of grace. And as Hebrews says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to..." to help in time of need. And I don't know about you, but for me, I don't always feel like praying. It can be hard to pray. But I believe praying is an act of courage, an act of faith in God. To come to Him and we request and we thank Him and we just come to Him with a strong heart and boldness. Prayer is an act of faith. And Abraham was a good example of this in this story as he begged and pleaded for the city with the Lord. Please, will you spare the city if? Will you spare the city if there's only this many? What about this many? Courage by faith when it's urgent. And oftentimes we tend to respond passively, at least I do, in situations like that. Moving on, number 6. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. We have Abraham here, asked to sacrifice his son by God. Number 6, obedience by faith in regards to lack of understanding. We have God coming to Abraham here, and he says, I want you to sacrifice your only son. Now, God had promised Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will give you an heir, and I will make you into something. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And now God comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him. Let's just break in. Well, let's begin at 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And notice this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And it came to pass, when they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son. And then Abraham seen a lamb in the thicket. Abraham said, in verse 8, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. And I think, I don't know, was this the hardest battle that Abraham faced? I'm not sure. But I know it would have been a hard battle for any parent to face this act of obedience. And this could have been a very confusing and a difficult request to fill. But the Bible doesn't tell us what went through Abraham's mind. It just says that he got up early and he went. And Hebrews 11 says, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And so we see here Abraham in his faith to God took God serious, even if it cost his son. How do we respond today with obedience to the Word of God? You know, I think that's something that we're facing today, especially in this society where we, quote, live in a Christian culture, where people call themselves Christians, and yet discipleship is not a part of their life. And it looks like an easy way. It looks like a way out, a road to travel. And it could look maybe at times like it's working. And you know, we're faced with this pressure, and as the world looks in, and they look at us, and they start saying, well, you're a cult. It puts the pressure on to back down on principles of the Word of God. But here we have Abraham, though he didn't understand, had strong faith in God to decide that whatever God says is the right thing, and it'll work. Obedience is an act of faith in God. It's just another element of the practical outworking in Abraham's life regarding his faith. Moving on, number 7, I have preparation by faith for the future. In Genesis chapter 24, we have Abraham sending his servant to get Isaac a wife. And I want to take this even beyond the fact of getting a wife for Isaac, but in preparation, preparing our children for the future. Abraham could have left this go. He could have said, you know what, Isaac can fend for himself. He can do his own thing, get his own wife. You know, we can take that kind of attitude in our life with our children and with our things. But Abraham wanted his prosperity to carry on the faith that he had in God. And he acted upon his faith in preparing Isaac and giving him the tools for what he needed to help him be faithful. And I think this should be heavy on our hearts as we look at our children. The next generation coming along, are we preparing our children for the future? Are we preparing our children for faith in God? You know, we have a lot of parents here this morning, and we're raising children for the Lord, and someday we're going to be gone. Someday we're going to leave behind a legacy, and our children will have to carry on the work. Well, we have prepared them for the future. And I also think of that maybe a little more in a physical sense as well. You know, we don't like to go there, but just recently, in the recent past, my wife and I kind of made out a will, because we were trying to prepare for the future. And we don't like to think of us that maybe both of us could get killed and leave our children here. But it's a question I throw out there. Have you prepared for your future, especially for your children? If you should go, will they get into the hands of Christian people? I think it's something we need to think about. We see Abraham responding in faith, and I think our faith, as we prepare for the future, will keep in mind some of these things and act accordingly to prepare our children for the future. Moving on, number 8, I simply have faithful in death. Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8. Abraham is now an old man. And it says here in these verses, Genesis 25 and verse 8, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. I missed, I was going to start at 7. Verse 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 135 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. I don't know what that talks to you, what that means to you, but I see faith in there. Faithful to death. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 to clarify that. Hebrews chapter 11, I like to read verses 13 through 16. Abraham is in this list. just prior to this, and I'm not going to take time to read it, but I'm going to start here, Hebrews 11 and verse 13. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so here we see Abraham died, but his faith continued to live. And I believe that Abraham reached that country that he was seeking for because of his faith. And I guess that's my plea to each one of us. You know, as we think of our faith in God, finally and ultimately, will we be faithful to death? And will we reach that better country that we're seeking for? May God bless you as you continue to act in faith to the promises of God and his word. God bless. Let's kneel for prayer.